anyone who tries to ponder the daily scriptures, the daily word of the liturgy, knows that some readings are easy to understand and apply, and some are not. When we hear about the love of God or Jesus blessing children, we say, well, that's a beautiful, consoling passage. But there are passages that are hard to ponder, partly because they're hard to understand. Sometimes it's not obvious to us what God is trying to say. I think of that parable where Jesus speaks about the unjust steward who gets honored by his boss. People always ask, what is that? Or the parable where everybody gets paid the same amount. People always are troubled by these things. Then there are passages that are hard to ponder because Jesus is speaking about or is undergoing his sufferings. So pondering the passion can be challenging. And then there are passages like this gospel today where Jesus is not speaking about his own suffering, but about our suffering. These are hard to take because we're not used to having people tell us straight out, you're going to suffer. People are going to hate you. Your own family members are going to betray you. We're not used to having people say things like that to us. And it's very hard to hear, very hard to face directly. It's true, but we don't always welcome the truth in its blank, when it's in its direct form like this. Now, especially if you're in the world of advertising or if you're in the world of social media, you know that those media are always putting on the best face. I've spoken about this before. I mean, Jollibee, when they want to advertise Chicken Joy, they put the best, richest, hottest, most delicious, crispy Chicken Joy you can possibly imagine, and some beautiful model biting into it and in ecstasy. But when you buy Chicken Joy, you know it's going to be cold, dried up little piece of chicken. And you're not surprised because that's how advertising works. It's not like you feel completely cheated. You understand, well, that's advertising is making it look good, so you buy it. And when people on social media, they don't put pictures of themselves falling down or bruised or bad hairstyle or something. They put the best possible picture of themselves when they're happy, when they're dressed up, when they're in some exotic place. And so when people look at their social media account, they say, oh, this person is so happy. What about all the suffering in life? We don't usually advertise that. In fact, they say that young people who spend so much of their time on social media, they get an expectation that life is going to be easier and going to look good. And when it's not, they're not prepared for it. People who have suffered know how to suffer. But people who have not suffered and who have never been told it's going to be hard, well, they're not prepared for it. That's one of the dangers. So that's why a reading like this can be difficult. Now, as I was reflecting on this, Jesus' strong words, brother's going to hand over brother to death, the father's going to hand over his child to death, parents are going to hand over their parents to death. These are horrible things to even consider. But I was thinking it's necessary to have strong warnings, not because Jesus is trying to frighten us away from being his disciples. After all, in this reading itself, he also puts the positive side. He also says things like, you don't have to worry about it. It's going to be terrible, but it's not going to be that terrible. That's how he puts it. So he's not trying to scare us away, but he does want us to know the whole picture. In the world, there are some examples like this, not in the world of advertising and recruiting and the social media. But for example, when a company is trying to hire someone to take on a difficult position, and they're trying to weed out the candidates or the applicants who are not really qualified, the interviewer will say, you know, this job is you're going to have to work 75 hours a week. You're going to have to work overtime. You're going to have to travel a lot. Your people under you are going to hate you because your job is to make them work harder. And so the interviewer will say, do you really want to do this difficult job? Are you really committed to this? Now, on the positive side, you get paid a lot of money and have all these advantages. But they do put before the applicant the hard side to see if they're really going to commit to it. You see something similar in sports. You know, the Olympics are coming up again. I think this month or next month. So in the news, there's more and more stories about these athletes who are competing or trying to compete in the Olympics. And you know, every single one of those Olympic athletes, every single one of them was told years ago, if you want to go for this, you're going to have to pay the price. You're going to have to train every day. You're not going to go on vacation. You can't spend time with your family. You can't go out with your friends. This, if you want to do this, it's going to take your whole life. It's going to be the central focus of your life, this sport or this competition or this. If that's what you want to do, okay, go for it. But remember, most of the people who go to the Olympics don't get a medal. A lot of people who train for years have injuries. They don't even compete. There's a lot of risks here, and a good coach will say, "Look, this is what this involves." So, and why do they do that? Not to scare them away, but to see if they're going to commit themselves to the challenge. The coaches think it's worth it, and the athletes who commit to it think it's worth it. But those who don't really want to do it, they shouldn't even start. So there's something like that, right? Although in Jesus' case, He's saying the price is much higher, but also the benefit is much greater. What good is a gold medal in the Olympics when we die? but if we're a committed follower of Jesus Christ, well, it's worth all the hardships, because the reward is very great. So here's Jesus telling us this difficult news. It's not hard to understand, it's just hard to accept. I'm sending you like sheep in the midst of wolves. Well, that's not a hard symbol to understand. Sheep in the midst of wolves are very vulnerable. Be shrewd as serpents and simple as doves. That's a little harder to understand because we think of shrewdness in a negative sense, but it actually is cleverness. Discernment, wisdom, that's what it's talking about. Be wise, don't be foolish, but be simple, be innocent. So that's Jesus in the beginning of this gospel, using symbols that we can understand. In order to let us know the whole truth. Now, part of why this is, I explain why it's difficult, but part of why this is so valuable is because it's true. And we are called to live by love, because God is love, but we're also called to live the truth, because God is truth. We're not called to put on a false appearance, like advertisers do. That is not, because God doesn't do that. God doesn't pretend to be something he's not. He wants us to be authentic. And deep down, that's what we want also. We really want to know the whole story. If it's going to be difficult, okay, it's difficult. Now, that's the challenging part. But now let's look at this gospel and see the positive side. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. Don't worry about it. Don't let this kind of language threaten you or make you feel anxiety. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You will be given at that moment what you are to say. It will not be you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. See what Jesus does here? And that he doesn't tell us these challenging things in order to frighten us or to make us focus on our sufferings. He does it so that we will not rely on ourselves, so that we will not think that we have to be tough and face the competition. No, so that we will rely on the Holy Spirit. So that we will accept that we have our limitations and not worry about it. God doesn't expect us to do everything. He expects us to submit to him and let him do everything. I'm reminded of that passage we had on Sunday, the second reading last Sunday, where Paul spoke about some mysterious suffering he called a thorn in his flesh. Remember that passage? I got this thorn, I got this torment, this suffering, this cause of embarrassment, or whatever it was. Maybe it was persecution, maybe it was this sort of thing. Maybe being hated by everybody was a thorn in his flesh, we don't know. But whatever it was, he asked the Lord to take it away. Three times. Again and again, I take this away. And the Lord said, my grace is enough for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. See, what the Lord said to Paul is something like Jesus says in this gospel. It's okay to have a thorn. It's okay to have opposition. There's suffering in life. That's part of the package. We don't live in an Instagram world or a Facebook world. We live in the real world, and in the real world, there are real problems, and that's part of it. But my grace is enough for you. Like Jesus saying, my spirit will be speaking in you. He's going to provide for you. So it's okay to be weak. It's okay to be little. It's okay to have powerful opponents. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about the problems. Acknowledge them. Don't live in denial. Pretend that everything's fine. Everything is, an advertisement. No. Face the harsh realities, but with confidence in God. That's what I take from a reading like this. Something like that message that Paul gives us. At the end of that passage on last Sunday, he said, I boast of my weaknesses. I boast of them. And I'm not even embarrassed. That's who I am. This is the situation I'm in. This is the thorn I have. But grace is more powerful. God is more powerful. Isn't this Christianity? Isn't this the Christian message? Christianity, especially Catholicism, leaves before us the reality of suffering. That's why we always have a crucifix in front of us. Maybe other churches don't like putting crucifixes up because they don't like looking at the suffering of Jesus. But we look at the suffering of Jesus and we say, well, there's love on display. There's victory, not only for Jesus, but for us too. We who will also face the cross, we who also carry the cross, and will not be defeated by it or be frightened away from it or live in anxiety about it because of the victory of Jesus, because of his spirit at work in us and through us. Paul boasts of the cross, and people of faith boast of the cross. We proclaim the victory of the cross. That's the kind of language I think these passages invite us to reflect on. Yes. Be realistic. Be truthful. Don't live in a false world or a superficial world or a hypocritical world or a virtual world. Live in the real world where there's real suffering, but with awareness, with confidence that God is victorious. And he's the most real thing we have. He's the most real thing there is. So our confidence is real because it's based on Jesus Christ himself.